Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's Three's a Charm show with Melody Luna, Sue Ellis-Soller, and normally we have Michelle McKenzie with us, but she's out with a little bit of food poisoning. So, hi, Melody.
Hello.
How are you today?
Good. I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Rested from vacation and just feeling like...
But good to be back.
Yes, definitely. Definitely good to be back. And since Michelle is out of the office today or, you know, not joining us, I thought we could focus on one of the skills that you've like mentioned in your journey. It was kind of one of the first things that came to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mediumship. Yep.
Yes, mediumship. And so, you know, that's something that you do that I think neither Michelle or I does. So we can put all the focus on you today and talk to you a little bit about mediumship, what it is, how you tune in, different stuff like that. So for the people who've never heard of you before, or never heard your backstory before, why don't you tell us a little bit about how your gifts kind of showed themselves to you?
Sure. I can't really go in too much detail because it was all a blur because it was
right.
So shocking at first. But I was just living a normal day-to-day life. There wasn't anything special. And I basically was changing my life. Can you hear us? Can you hear me? Should
I still
can
hear you.
Okay.
I can hear you, but Michelle says she can't hear you.
So I was wondering, like, should I still talk?
Okay. Because that's weird if we can hear each other. Sorry, everybody. If you can hear us, you know, Mercury is going, like, it's still in the shadow right now. So, of course,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have some... Due to technical difficulties, we will be right with you. Let's see if I can see anybody in the chat. Open chat in new window. Okay. Okay. Must be listening to an old one because it's just her.
Okay.
Okay. So, sorry about that, guys.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so it was a blur.
Okay, so I was just living my day-to-day life as a regular person. I didn't have experiences like you hear with the more popular mediums that you see in the media. I wasn't seeing spirits when I was 2 years old. I wasn't experiencing anything like that, and later down the line, you kind of question, am I a medium or not? Because I didn't have these experiences. And one of the first things you learn is you don't compare yourself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to high school. I didn't have any problems. And every once in a while, you hear about psychics. And I had, picked up a tarot card deck one time and was reading it, but reading it from the book, the guidebook. So I wasn't really intuitive. It was just something that I knew of, but never really dived into. And then things started happening where I would start to wake up and see, I would close my eyes and I would see my room, but I would see spirits. I would be half awake and half asleep and I would hear voices. They would start coming in different languages. I would start feeling pains, but hearing I would hear, for example, like a gunshot, and then I would feel my side start to hurt. But it wasn't a sound of a gunshot in terms of like you left the TV on. It was more of sounds like you would hear in your mind. So if you were to hear me talk now, but imagine me talking inside your head, it was more of kind of a thought sound. I know
mm-hmm.
that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it was more of like a transparent sound versus a physical sound. And I've noticed... pictures flashing in my head, movie reels flashing in my head. I would get certain dreams, and I would see transparent fairies come into my room. I mean, it was just a lot at once, to the point where I thought I was going crazy. I would stand up in the room and tell everybody to leave me alone. I mean, this journey wasn't, I mean, some people think it's glamorous and cool, but there are things that when you're not ready for it or you don't understand, it's very, very scary and frightening. So it wasn't something I picked up a book and decided to learn. It was something that just happened to me, like, literally one night, and then it just spiraled from there. It didn't go away. It was just getting, I wouldn't say worse, but it was growing. And because of that, it hasn't gone away. And then later on, I researched that I came across, I don't know if it was a show or a book, but I remember it being mentioned that if you had dreams as a young child that were very heightened in the realm of your senses, that's the first sign that you are a natural medium or a medium. It was to the point where I remembered having dreams, and it triggered my memories. Like, oh, I remember having dreams when I was 4 years old, but it was different than usually people talk about. I would taste what was in my dream. I would feel pain in my dream. I would smell smells in my dream. I would feel textures in my dreams. It was very real. You know you're dreaming, but you wouldn't think you could taste things. It just connected with all my senses. And so it was horrible a lot of times because it was nightmares. So as a four-year-old or five-year-old, you kind of are scared, but you think, okay, these are just regular nightmares. But then later when you get older, then you realize, oh, you know, I know this is a little graphic, but the taste of blood. I wasn't supposed to taste blood in my nightmares. You know, I wasn't supposed to taste things that I wasn't supposed to taste. And then later on, as I started getting all these intuitive hits from being a medium, when I found out I was a medium 4 years ago, I'd wake up in the middle of the night and taste salt water. And then later learn that somebody telling me how they died or what they've been through in their life, perhaps they drowned in an ocean. So it all connected later on for me in terms of all the different senses triggering itself.
Oh, wow. That's mm-hmm. It's kind of fascinating. And how did you so you read an article that said that, you know, if you have these very sensory heavy dreams, or then how did you channel people? Okay, they talk to you after mm-hmm. and then okay, so how do you work with people when you're doing mediumship readings? Because Melody, just to let everybody know, Melody and I discussed it a little bit before the show, and because mediumship is a really involved process, we're going to work with cards with the callers, and then if Melody gets the wrong impression for somebody, then she'll go ahead and say that. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there for people who are listening mm-hmm. and who are waiting. So how do you translate that, or how do you figure out who are you and why are you talking to me kind of stuff?
Well, when this all happened, and it was, just to reiterate, I don't think I mentioned it, but when this all started to happen, I felt like my life was coming together. So I was leaving a relationship that I was in for 12 years. I was leaving the state I was in at the time. I was leaving a job I was in. So when I was getting ready to do all this, I don't know if that meant that my willpower and happiness was more aligned and in tune with who I am. Perhaps that's what triggered everything, because I felt stressed for a long time in my life. And then when I finally felt like I've been making improvements in my life, maybe that's what triggered it. That's what I'm thinking triggered it. But I'm sorry, what was your question again? I forgot.
Oh, that's okay. No, how do you figure out who is talking to you and why?
Well, I know It's kind of complicated because at first you think you're kind of going little cuckoo. And then I started hearing different languages as well. So I started hearing Spanish people talk, and then I started hearing people talk in Tagalog, which is the language of the Philippines, and I'm part Filipino. So I obviously have either ancestors or relatives in the Philippines trying to communicate with me, which is odd too. So it was it's kind of hard to get those. But in terms of a person who does speak English, and even if the person doesn't speak English, they can still translate through the pictures and through the feelings and the taste and everything like that. I know some people say, you know, it doesn't matter if they, you know, spoke Spanish in their other life, they can still communicate with me through English. I've never had that. I've had where I've heard different languages, but as long as I'm tuned into their emotion, energy, they give me the picture, I can piece it together fairly quickly.
Okay. So it's very visually based.
And feeling based. Yeah.
So Claire, so the visual, the feeling, and then also clairaudient as well, because you're hearing.
I'm clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, and that's got to be challenging too, physically, and also, you know, kind of mentally a little bit, because you're trying to put together a puzzle that somebody is giving you random pieces of, and say, here, sort this out for me. Now, do they give you somebody that you should contact for them? Like, is that, or?
Well, in a typical reading, if somebody wants me to contact a specific person, I pretty much let my spirit guides know that this is who I want to contact. And I imagine a big stage, and I imagine my guides finding the person and bringing them forward to the microphone. Kind of like they have their chance to speak with me. And if the person comes up and I tune into their energy, that's great. If they don't, that means they either don't want to communicate or they've reincarnated perhaps. That's never happened to me yet. But there are going to be times where you don't pick up anything because maybe this isn't the time, maybe you're not in tune. Going back to like what you said about having to piece the messages together, because we have to piece messages together, mediums aren't going to be right 100% of the time. There's going to be some disconnect. So I always tell clients that what I get and what you get, we have to work as a team, me and the client. So if I get, let's for example, a rose that's pink, for me that means unconditional love. And then for the client, that might mean, oh, that was her favorite flower. You connected with her. So it's a team effort, because I don't know that's her favorite flower. She might be telling me in spirit that's her favorite flower, but it's up to the client to let me know, no. Flower actually means this, or a flower, this was actually her favorite, or a flower is actually a memory we had when I was little. So it's kind of a cooperation with the other person, because I didn't live their life. I'm just telling them what I'm getting from who in spirit remembers those things. And so it has to come around full circle in that way, which is fun for the client too, because they get to validate and kind of help with piecing it all together.
Right. And that's really good. And I think you mentioned some really great points. Number one, that I know a lot of people come to us and to mediums and readers and clairaudient and clairvoyants and with a lot of skepticism. And so they kind of shut their energy off and shut down and say, well, you tell me, you know. And a lot of times doing work cooperation, so we get these images and these hints and clues, and then it's up to the person to tell us, okay, this is definitely – the person who came through for us.
And sometimes it might be a tug of war. So like you said, a person will say, well, you tell me, you're the psychic. Yeah, but if you're not open, you're not going to listen to anything I say, or I can't connect, and you're not going to be ready for the message either way, if I get it right or wrong. I know some readers can say, okay, I see you at a carnival winning a toy, and this is a memory you had with your grandma. They go, yeah, but what was the toy? What color was the toy? You know, and it's like, you told me, yeah, you're right, but I need to know more specific things. And that just tells me you're not ready to accept the message. You're just
right.
Nitpicking. And it's kind of like, so it's a cooperation between the client and, or sometimes we call them the sitter and the reader. So if you're not impressed with the message and you think that's not the right message, then maybe you're not ready yet for the reading, because your mind's not open enough to accept. I'm not saying not be skeptical. I'm just saying don't be too judgmental yet before you try to be too nitpicky about the situation or the reading.
Right, right. That's understandable. So, well, let's take a caller, because we have a couple people who've been waiting for a little while, and we're 15 minutes in the show now. So are you all ready?
I'm good.
Okay.
I got my cards.
All right. So do I. So, okay. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
This is Donna. Good afternoon.
Hi, Donna. How are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
Glad to
hear
it.
How
are you? Doing well, thanks.
Good.
So
good.
So, Donna, do you have a question for Melody today?
Well, yes. Hi, Melody.
Hi.
I can hear the spirits once in a while on the other side, and I have seen them before. Mm-hmm. And I got a message from my mother, Anne. She's on the other side. And she said, you're going to be rewarded. And I had two dreams with her that were celebrating and were happy and were joyful. And I wanted to know if you could pick up anything from her, as because I... kind of perplexed.
Let's see. Sue, can you do a reading first and see if I pick up anything while you're doing that? Does that work?
Yeah, because I feel like these, you know, just getting those messages really came in a sudden flash. Like it was something that you hadn't experienced before, Donna. And it was really something I feel like your mom kind of helped you work with, though. She kind of wanted to encourage you to open that up inside yourself. And for a long time, you were kind of a little bit conflicted about, you know, whether or not real messages were coming through to you. But she also, you know, wants you to be confident in yourself, because there is something that you have to do that you really have to kind of find your courage and strength for, and you're worried about it. And she's telling you, quit worrying and step up and be, you know, brave, because that's the only way that you're going to get to this end result that you're looking for, the celebration.
Okay.
And you, Melody?
Well, I pulled some cards, but now I'm going to say what I got in my head, and there are only two things that I got so far about you with the dream you had and the connection with your mother. I got the word fall, so it looks like the celebration for you is going to happen in fall coming up. I also got a iron. I don't know if your mother was used to iron shirts or use an ironing board.
Yeah,
I got that in my head. So that's what I got so far. I got that I'm getting goosebumps now, that she definitely is still around you. And I'm getting the sun and happiness. So she's definitely seeing this new, I'm getting a sun coming over a horizon, which to me is symbolizing right now new beginnings. So this fall is going to be a new beginning for you. And I see that to connect those with the cards that I have now is that it looked like you were kind of stuck at one point, and she told me the word hold. So I don't know if you were holding on to something that needs to be let go or released slowly, because that's what she told me.
I don't know if I'm holding on to anything.
Yeah. I saw her ironing a shirt, and then I saw her holding something and then slowly letting go of it, kind of symbolizing don't hold on, or maybe it's don't hold on too tight to her, kind of let go a little bit, and things will fall in place a little bit, perhaps. I don't know if it means something personal to you, but that's what I saw. And I do get that you should trust your intuition, that these visitations are real. I'm not getting any negativity. This is your validation. She wants to know that you have to trust your intuition more.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you would sit there and think, okay, I think I saw it, but I didn't see it. And then your head goes back and forth. And then you kind of think, maybe not necessarily that you're crazy, but maybe I've worked too hard. Maybe I pushed myself a little too hard and I'm making this up. This can't be what it is. It is what it is. Maybe you're holding on too tightly to the notion that this isn't real. And maybe that's what it means, to let go a little bit and know that you don't have to be so serious about you didn't see what you saw. You did see what you saw, and let this be validation for you that you did see it. And I got another card that piggybacks on the sun that I saw of new beginnings in the fall, that things are going to happen in the long term for you and they're going to be right. So it's getting on the right path. So you're getting off one path and you're going to be on another one. And this one's going to be, instead of a short term kind of happiness, this is going to be a long term happiness for you.
Oh, good. Maybe there's a husband coming in for me.
Oh, maybe.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did see a card that says a reassurance of a relationship. So this could be with yourself or another person.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Yeah, when I heard the messages recorded, I played the Powerball and I picked four of the numbers. And then all day I was thinking number four and I played one. And 4-1. I would have had all five, you know, and there's six, so I would have won a lot. But that's all right, because I don't think that's the big thing coming in. I think that's just getting me to trust my intuition, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because when you kicked yourself, you kind of said, see, I knew I was right, but for a second I thought I was wrong. And it's like, no, you were right the whole time. So that's validation for you, even though you don't have the ticket and you can't say, see, I got it. I picked four. You and your mind and yourself know that you were going to pick four. You just don't have the proof to show anybody, which you don't need the proof. You know.
Yeah, and then the other day, yesterday, my sister had lost her wallet 6 months ago, and out of the blue, I got a message that said, it's at this woman's house, and then a half hour later, my sister called to say that the woman found my sister's wallet.
Whoa!
That was 6 months ago. It just came into me, so maybe I'm opening up more, but I think I owe it to the meditation that I'm doing religiously every day for a half an hour every morning.
Absolutely, and it might have, the communication with your mother might have come in clear because of the meditations that you are doing, because we center ourselves, we open ourselves up a little bit more.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. Oh, well, I look forward to this fall. Yeah.
Yes. You're welcome.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Bye-bye.
Take care. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hi.
Oh, that's really interesting, too. And that she mentioned that meditation, opening herself up and really taking that time to get still and receive those messages.
And maybe that's what that hand opening meant. She was opening herself up. The hand was opening up and loosening up. So maybe that's what it meant.
Yeah, totally. That could be. So I have another caller. Do you want me to wait between callers, or do you want me to take somebody real quick now?
I think that's okay. And probably I think it helped that you went first, so it gave me kind of time to concentrate. But
okay,
I can't guarantee, but I'll try my best.
Okay, here we go. Hi, thanks for holding. Who are we speaking with today?
Thank you very much. My name is Wendy from Sacramento, California.
Hi.
Hello.
Wendy.
Hi. Nice to meet both of you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
Thanks. I have a concern regarding employment. I have 15 years call center experience, medical insurance, and I was directly hired by a major health insurance company in their call center on July the 5th. And three people, they couldn't get into their database for a few days, and I was one of them. And they finally did, but they were still working on it. So bottom line, I asked for an Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, window of time to get my hearing aids fixed, and that's pending. I would be shocked if it wasn't approved. I have lots of documentation that I gave them. So I just want confirmation that that will be approved, and I think I got a good sign because last Thursday, Human Resources emailed me and said they want to move forward to the next step, which is an interactive conversation that just discusses what the job profile is and what I need from them. And all I'm asking is a two-sided headset, really. And my other concern is, will I get the debt consolidation loan that'll save me with my credit score?
Okay. Well, I see right in the center of this, I see definitely that you're moving forward, that you're taking this passion, and it's going to be moving forward for you. Patience is a virtue in this, and that I know that you've been waiting, but I did get the temperance card that tells me that, you know, you have to be patient, you have to kind of wait for them to help you out, and really, I think that everything will move forward pretty quickly, actually. You won't have to fight. It's going to kind of come through. And I would say within about 2 weeks, it would probably start, the ball would start rolling again. As far as the debt consolidation loan is concerned, I see that it's really competitive right now, and I really think that they're going to want to wait until you have, at least 60 days on the job before they release any money to you or to try and get everything together. So, I mean, I'm seeing that it will happen. It's just going to be contingent on a time frame in this new job. So...
Okay,
Melanie?
Technically 60 days is today because I was hired on July the 5th. So,
okay.
I'll be called back to work to start fresh in a new training class before this month ends.
That's what I see.
Okay.
So, Melody?
And,
oh, I'm sorry. And?
You want me
so,
to go?
Well, hopefully I'll pass the 7 weeks training with the computer navigation and all that jazz. And will I keep this job at least 2 years?
That's something that I think so, because you're right now you're putting so much worry into everything. Like the card that came up tells me that you don't have to worry. There's not a lot of conflict there. It's going to be kind of smooth sailing for you. So
okay.
You should be able to keep it for quite a while. I mean, 2 years is kind of a minimum thing, but I really think it's going to bring you a lot of satisfaction, and you're not going to have to worry about searching anymore. Like the search is going to be over finally.
Oh, those are healing words. Because I've been going through quite a lot of trauma, and it's been constant every day online looking at employment. And I think that the hearing aids situation was a blessing because this is God's way of helping me to start fresh, because it really threw me for a loop when they dropped the ball because they didn't get me into their database for 3 days, and I lost 3 days navigation training, and then they had amnesia the following Monday when I had to ask, like, well, how do I get to that screen? And it was very uncomfortable. So I think that this was a blessing about the hearing aids.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Everything that happens is a blessing. And so really remember to make sure that you're presenting yourself. And, you know, I have a feeling that you're really, really good at your job and that sometimes, like, your nerves take over. So
yeah.
Just make sure, take deep breaths, you know, when you go in and everything. And just stay calm. Know that you have it. Know that, you know, you don't have to worry, that you have the skills and it's just learning a system, which you can do totally.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What threw me for a loop is that I was pulled out of the classroom by this supervisor who is half my age, which is fine. I have respect for her, but she said, "We're concerned about your navigation." And I looked at her very kindly and I was shocked. And I said, "Excuse me, are you not aware that I lost 3 days training because they couldn't get me into the database?" And she actually said, "Doesn't matter." And so that almost, if I didn't need the job so much, then I might have, when my dignity might have had me walk out the door, but it is a good company. And it's taken me a long time to get a direct hire job. I mean, I am an employee. I've got my security badge, and they're very protective of that. I'm sure they would have asked for it back if I wasn't an employee. Plus, I've got medical benefits and dental and vision. So I think that probably Americans with Disabilities got their attention.
Yeah, more than likely, definitely. And it's just a thing, too, of, you know, going in and being really calm and... You know, like you said, the girl pulled you out and you kind of had a little bit of a confrontation about like the missing the 3 days. And that would be something, you know, really kind of you can make up that time. I think that it's really something that I almost feel it's kind of going. They expected you to be farther along than you should have been. So. Melody, what are you seeing with this?
And was the first question about if, and sorry if I get this wrong, is it what your hearing aid arriving and things like that?
Well, the way I phrased it to them was, how can I continue in class because I cannot hear the trainer?
Okay.
And from that point of view. And so that falls under Americans with Disabilities because hearing is a disability for people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've proven success history where I've worked in a major insurance company with hearing aids very successfully. And I've got 4 years medical documentation. So I was smart because I made a current appointment with my audiologist. So when I didn't report to work, I had to wait a couple of weeks to get an appointment with my audiologist. They're really packed. Plus, my hearing aids were sent back to the manufacturer. That took a long time. That's all been done and documented. And I would be shocked if they didn't approve it. But they're the big honcho that can say yes or no. But I'm
okay.
Sure they don't want to mess with ADA.
Okay. The reading I got for that is that you kind of feel like you're alone on this thing. You have felt like you're alone. I work with the present to get the potential of the future. So I can't really tell you the future, but I can tell you the potential in the present situation to make it better for you. So you have felt like you're in the dark and alone on this thing.
Yeah.
You have a self-discipline and willpower, so keep that about you. Be persistent. But you don't want to obsess over it because if you've done all you can do with it and it's out of your hands, let it be out of your hands and weigh your decisions. Your decision has got you this far, but think about your health and don't mentally psych yourself out because if you just relax and just be patient, like Sue said, things will start picking up. Everything will start happening at once and you'll be like, oh, wow. It's like everything got hit full throttle. So don't stress over it too much. If you've done all you can do, just take that breath and go, it's out of my hands. And then the three cards I pulled for your debt consolidation,
yes,
I've got pretty much the same thing that there's when things start going full throttle, if you release this negative fear-based thought of it's not going to work out, then there's the potential of a release happening, which means when things go full throttle, it will spin this debt consolidation. It will start a new phase for you. And when that new phase starts, it will clear away anything that you no longer serves you. So that signals to me this is potentially could be the debt we're talking about. So when everything gets pulled full throttle, then you'll see, okay, this is wiped. This is gone. And then after that, you may feel like you have a burst of courage within yourself and not giving up.
Yeah.
Because it'll reignite your fire.
And you know what? I had received some flyers in the mail. I guess companies can somehow draw your credit report somehow they find out that you're in debt. And I talked to a man this morning, and I feel encouraged because doing a debt consolidation loan, he says, will not hurt your credit score. Initially, they're going to run a soft credit report. But he said, like, when I want to apply for a new apartment to rent with my sister next summer, he said, that's not going to hurt me. Technically, I started July the 5th, and what is today? September the 5th, so that's 60 days right now. And I've kind of told you both have summed it up because I've done my work. I've worked hard to draw this opportunity to me, and also I've been smart because I did not run to an attorney to do a bankruptcy, which would have hurt me. And I have my wits about me. And it was the computer navigation that kind of threw me off because of the first 3 days, which I think was very unfair to me.
Decision making I was talking about. I don't mean to interrupt, but when I talk about, you know, you make your own decisions, especially about your health, but you're making, you know, you carefully weigh your options. That's partly also too. So keep in mind that that's a strength of yours to weigh your options and keep doing that.
Oh yeah. Working on the phone with people for 20 years, I use my active listening skills and I do research on the internet and I think about everything 360 degrees. And so I think I have a good chance because my credit card payments are impeccable, perfect, but I can't continue with this much every month. So the man I spoke with said that it's probably 100% that they'll do business with me. And I made it clear to him that I want to get the minimum payment out down as much as possible. So, but I'm going to look at other companies too. And I might even speak to an attorney because I want to make sure this is on the up and up and I want to protect myself. So I just hope and pray to God that I get a new trainer, a new boss, and that the computer navigation is a breeze for me this time and that I'll be supported. That's all I ask. And in return, I will work like a dog and treat their callers like gold.
Well, we're adding our prayers to yours so that you'll get this and that everything will work out smoothly.
Oh, please do. Thank you both so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Wendy. Best of luck to you, okay?
Just to let you know, it was like I woke up 2 days ago and I realized, oh, my God, I can't continue like this. And I know you've got other beautiful callers, but I'll tell you. There's been family tragedy. My beloved brother took his life, jumped from a bridge a year and a half ago. I had major, major surgery. So I've been through trauma, and I'm not kidding you. I've been through trauma. And I lost my job at 15 years. Wrongfully, I was bullied by a new boss. And so I'm not kidding you when I tell you I've got a lot of strength. And I think a lot of people, especially at age 66, would have just given up, but I did not give up. And something I know is that sometimes people in life forget their self-worth and they give up, and that's such a tragedy. And for people that are 66, continue to put your resume out there. It doesn't hurt to do that online. Do it anyway. And present yourself, get dressed up in a suit, and get that resume redone, and go in with confidence, and it'll happen. So I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called You Won't Believe This, but I've been through pure you-know-what, and I appreciate you both, and I thank you for your show.
Well, thank you, Wendy.
And bless you. I'll be sending you healing.
Yeah, and I'll be praying for you and sending you healing, too. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. So that was, you know, it's interesting when we pull the cards and we're tuning into this person's situation, how oftentimes our messages that we receive are exactly the same. I mean, I'm sure that we probably had very many of the same cards going on there. So
you're reading your cards and I'm looking at mine. I'm like, okay, it's the same thing.
Yeah. So, and usually, though, we were talking about this before, and I don't think we mentioned it in the show, but using the cards as a starting point for a reading. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So both you and I, working with clairvoyantly and with, you know, the energy that's out there, sometimes we look at the cards and we go, So explain a little bit to me how you would use your cards, like in a mediumship reading, for example.
Oh boy. I don't typically use my mediumship with any tools except maybe like a crystal every now and then. But I have come across some information that some people do use their cards. There was one card deck that I'm getting rid of now because I don't ever use it. But at one point, I gave a reading with James Van Prague. Talking to Heaven deck. And at one point, I kept it next to me just in case Spirit called me to grab a card from that deck. But it was usually always on standby, and I hardly ever used it. I think I've only used it once during a mediumship reading. But there are people who, and I know this might not agree with people, but mediums do use tools if they choose to. This does include things like Ouija boards and tarot decks and oracle decks and crystals and things like that. They're all divination tools. Even though I know the word Ouija board's scary, if you know what you're doing and you practice, it is just like any other tool of divination if you break it down. Because if you're communicating with spirit, whether it's through cards, a stone, or a board, they're still just all objects. It's how and what you use it to tune into. So let's say you connect with spirit, let's call him Sam, and you take your deck and you shuffle it and you put it down. And the card, let's say, has a guy working on the card, plowing a field. And then you could say, was Sam a hard worker? You know, did he take pride in his work? Did he work perhaps in farming, or did he think about farming? And then they go, yes. So you make the connections connecting with Sam with the cards or whatever intuitive hit you pick up. If you're not drawn to the picture on the card being a person plowing a field, you might be drawn to the color vest he's wearing. Oh, was Sam's favorite color red? Did he wear a red vest all the time? Another person, yes, he did. He loved his red suit or vest. Then you can kind of incorporate it. It's all kind of connected when you take the cards out. It's just the mode of what you choose to do with it and how you choose to interpret it, which all goes back to your intuition.
Right. That's a good point. So, yeah, because I wasn't really clear about whether or not you did use tools in your readings. And then another question that I have for you is, anybody hung around, you're all like, okay, I think I got your message. You can go now. Bye-bye. So
So
there have been times where I can't even sleep because they're in there.
Okay, yeah, like from the spirit world, they're just like, hello, hello, mm-hmm. Melody. So what do you do with it?
There are times, literally recently, I would say maybe a couple weeks ago, where I had to tell everybody I did my thing. I kind of relate myself to Oda Mae Brown in Ghost, where she first hears, that's how my reaction was, when she first hears somebody talk, and she's like, what is that? Like, who the heck is that? Leave me alone. Like, literally, I was saying, leave me alone. What do you want? And it was like the scene where he's like, I'm Henry VIII, I am, and he's sitting in her room, and he won't leave her alone. Like a cowboy in my room, this is when I was talking about the gunshot, and it ended up being like this cowboy who was singing My Clementine over and over and over, and it was just like, okay, I get it. Like, you like that song, that Clementine song, My Clementine. Like, I don't ever listen to that song, but I don't know why it was in my head, but I just eventually started saying, you know, do you miss your family? And he goes, well, I suppose so, in that cowboy voice. I'm like, then you should go be with them in the light, you're safe, and things like that. So sometimes it's talking to them and letting them know that you're safe, I hear you. You know, these are people who, a ghost and a spirit are two different things. So a ghost is somebody who has passed over and can't find their way to the light or the other side or whatever word you want to use. And then a spirit is one that has crossed over, but they visit you.
Okay. That's good to know.
So ghosts are kind of stuck in a way, whether it's they feel like they need to be there. There are times where ghosts feel guilty about going because they don't want to be judged. They fear that if they go, they will have to look at all the things they've done wrong and they will be punished for that. Or they just simply don't know what happened, like people who got shot in the head or had dementia or memory loss in their previous life might still be living in that. And so they don't even know they're dead. They don't even know how to get home. They don't even know where they are. I mean, it's various things. But as a medium, I have, like you were saying, or your question was, how do you have them stop? It's kind of putting boundaries down and saying, I'm tuning you out, and I tell my guides, can you please guide them out of my room because I'm off the clock. Like, I'll literally say, I'm off the clock. Like, I'm not working right now. I'll get to you when I can. And one of the most, I wouldn't say frightening things, but shock things, is one time I was closing my eyes and I saw something fuzzy and I in my head, and I couldn't make out what it was. And eventually it focused, and it was a line of spirit out my door.
Oh, wow.
Like a huge line waiting to talk to me. And I had to tell my guides, I said, can you please guide these people to where they belong originally, and let them know that I'm not reading tonight, or this is my me time that I have to have and I have to rest. I'm trying to be polite because they do want to see me, but then you do get sometimes those spirits who don't want to leave. And I've had threats from spirits, and I would basically tell them, like anybody, leave me alone. Your crap's not going to work on me. It's just, these were people, unless you want to dive into other stuff. But for now, we're talking about ghosts and spirits. And so if somebody's hurling insults at you for no good reason, you're not going to sit there and be like, okay, you're right, I am stupid, I am this. And you're like, no, go away. You're being mean.
Right.
I'm really not going to help you. So I'm not going to take it, and I'm not going to let it fester. And then, you know, I grab my crystal, my selenite. I keep my black tourmaline by my bed, and, you know, hold on to those and try to turn my back towards where I feel the spirit is, and just kind of try to disconnect myself, ground myself, you know, imagine roots coming from the bottom of my bed holding me, and then imagine like a spotlight surrounding me so I know I'm protected. Those are just different methods that I use. And sometimes I can just put on my meditation music and headphones while I go to sleep and tune them out.
Oh, that's cool. So they respect that border of your meditation area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So not meditation area like physical space, but like the mental space that you make to meditate. That's really good.
Yes. I try to use this word recently, and I say it to myself and out loud because they telepathically can hear messages. So if I say it in my head, I know they can hear it. And I say, this is my mental me time, and I'm separating from anything negative or anything like that. Because as an empath, we feel spirit too, or I feel spirit too as a medium. So if I'm depressed, I don't know if it's me or the spirit
right.
next to me influencing me. So it's
right.
it's kind of confusing at times.
Oh, yeah. We could do a thing about empaths too and picking
mm-hmm.
up energy. And yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, let's take one more caller, and then to wrap things up after we take this caller, I want to know what kind of advice you would give to somebody who is just discovering that they have skills as a medium, and what you would tell them, you know, how to, like, just little tips, like you were saying, this is my me time, and
mm-hmm.
I need this, or, you know, get your selenite and keep your tourmaline handy, things like
mm-hmm.
that. So maybe while we're talking to this person afterwards, if you don't mind talking about
sure.
that, okay? Okay,
that
good. Awesome. So, hi, caller. Thanks for holding.
Yes, hi. Happy Tuesday. Thank you for having your show today.
Oh, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Who are we chatting
yeah.
with?
My name is Tina.
Hi, Tina.
Hello, Tina.
And where are you calling in from today?
New Jersey.
Okay. Well, welcome. How can we help you?
Yes. Can we ask about a relationship, or it has to be about a loved one?
No. Could be about a relationship.
Okay. I would like to ask about a new relationship with Christian.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you want me to go first on this one, too?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. I'm getting about a relationship is, are you trusting your intuition on this person, or are you not trusting your intuition on this person? Is your gut telling you one thing? Is this a potential relationship with somebody in the future, or is this a relationship you're in now?
Oh, yeah, we just started dating. Mm-hmm.
Just started dating. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you to have patience and trust your intuition. So are there times where you feel like you want to do a million and one things to this person, but you don't want to come off overbearing, so you hold back?
Can I read it?
That's a good thing that you don't want to come off too strong. That's what I'm getting. So that's a good thing that you're making decisions and use your intuition. You're just like, should I go see him at surprise him at his work, or should I hold back? If your voice is telling you to hold back, then don't surprise him at his work. But if your intuition says, maybe I should go see him, I think something's wrong, then, you know, that would be great to, you know, follow your gut and check on him. And so carefully decide what you do before acting on this relationship. And also take time to nurture yourself and others. So just don't focus on this other person. Do what you want to do. Give birth to your dreams. Put yourself first, because then that will leave you shining and I'll use this word, more attractive. The more you dig into who you are and the more you dig into your confidence, that will be attractive to this person, is what I'm seeing at the present moment. And if you feel like sometimes you're right in the situation, or something's not, I'm going to say if something doesn't feel fair, if you felt like something was unfair, just hold on to that belief. But this doesn't mean, see, this goes back to using your intuition and deciding what you do before acting. This doesn't necessarily mean start yelling at the person, start cursing at them, start telling them how horrible they are. This just means, you know what? If I didn't want to go out tonight and I wanted to stay home, I'm staying home. I'm not starting a fight about it, but I'm going to plant my butt on that couch and sit right there and see what he does. If he finally caves and goes, you know what? You're right. We should stay in tonight. Then you see that you feel proud of yourself standing up for, yeah, I had a feeling about my intuition and I'm not going out tonight. And then later, 2 weeks later, you might learn, yeah, that restaurant I heard had, you know, a robbery or something. You were right not to go. So I'm getting little things like that, not necessarily legal problems in the terms of what's fair and justice and right, but in terms of little things that if your gut is telling you you don't want to walk down that alley or go to that restaurant, pay attention. And if he doesn't like that, stand your ground and be like, no, I'm not arguing with you, but I just have a gut feeling.
Yes.
Okay, what is his perception of me?
I'm sorry?
I don't know. Do you pick up what is his perception of me?
The perception of you, what he thinks about you?
Yes.
I've
been single for 4 years, so I've been very patient.
Yeah, it goes back to what I said about it's the confidence in yourself, who you are established as a person. So if your dream is to be, like, hypothetically, say, a cook, and you decide to be a cook and you take those classes and you end up owning your own business, that's attracted to a person. This is your strength, is to who you are. Get cemented in who you are. I get a feeling that if you're too clingy to who you're with, it will start dissolving the relationship. This person will then feel like, okay, she's too needy, she's too clingy. I like it. She's the most attractive or most sexy when she takes charge and knows who she is, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got that he sees secure and grounded as well, that you're somebody who takes pride in her home and in her family and in your career, and that he's really, you know, he sees you as being organized, but also somebody who takes the initiative with the relationship and who is, you know, kind of asserting yourself in it. I do totally 100% agree with Melody in being very confident in who you are and pursuing your own passions at the same time, so that you have this, you know, you have that. I know you mentioned justice, Melody, but also the balance that's brought there. Mm-hmm. Because I think that you also need like outlets. You get really, really involved in something and then you kind of pull back. You're like, oh, that's boring a little bit. And then you go to the next thing and the next thing. And you want your hobbies to be like that, but not the people who you're interested in. But so I think that's number one, it makes you more attractive. But number two, it helps you to keep interested in him as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
You're welcome, Tina.
Good luck to you.
And how do we reach you outside of this reading? This is my first time calling.
Melody is.
She can email me. Yeah.
Okay.
You can at Melody Luna 13. So that's MelodieLuna 13@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, have a great day, Tina, and good luck.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, so we're wrapping up now. Oh, my God, we're on time. We're never on
time.
So what, like, in closing, what advice would you give to somebody who's just starting to be more open to their mediumship skills? I'll give you the floor.
Which is great you bring that up, because I'm getting in this mode of actually using my gifts, or I don't say gifts, I'll say abilities. I don't like using the word gift. Ability to give advice to other people who went through the same thing I did, because I wouldn't say it was extremely traumatic, but it was a tiny bit traumatic to go from normal everyday life to spirit conversation. So
right.
My advice would be, instead of, if you are a medium and you think you are a medium, and this isn't just a visitation dream, this is something that follows you from house to house and you're getting different people, acknowledge that you are a medium, that you do communicate with spirit. Do as much research as you can. Don't run away from it. Slowly start to accept it. The more you accept that you're not crazy and that this happens and it's happening for a reason, use that knowledge as power in doing your research, and use it as a strength to your advantage of saying, I am a sensitive. I need to do this research. I'm doing the research right now. And start to slowly empower yourself. Not look at yourself as necessarily special or elitist to anybody else, but just different, and own it. Because the more you deny it, the more it will give you a fear-based energy, and you don't want that. You want an awareness, and awareness of what's going on. Even if you think it's scary, practice what's scary about it? Anything that I thought was scary, I researched. And then it wasn't so scary anymore because I knew what to do in those situations, and I knew that they had no power over me in that way.
Very good advice. I really like
that.
Knowledge
is power.
So, exactly. I love that. Because seriously, like at first it's probably very overwhelming and a little bit terrifying and it's slightly annoying. And then,
mm-hmm.
like you said, the more you find out about it, and getting a mentor is a really, really, really great idea too. Like you said,
mm-hmm.
you know, helping other people, you know, get comfortable with being a medium. So you'll have to send me details, and we'll have to, like, once you get everything going with that, or, you know, get your outline for that or whatever,
mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it, because I think that's a really fabulous thing to offer to people as
mm-hmm.
a service. So,
and if you have any, I can't necessarily say I'm a mentor, but if you have any questions about mediumship, anybody out there, or any paranormal questions, or feel like you're alone, shoot me an email. I do those for free. So there'll be no cost if you have general questions about mediumship or the spirit world. I'll be happy to answer them to help anyone I can.
And what's your email again, Melody?
So it's my email is Melody Luna, M-E-L-O, D as in dog, I-E, L-U-N-A, the number 3@gmail.com.
Very good. And thank you again. Get us wrapped up here, but thank you again for sharing your wealth of knowledge with us and really being open to, you know, explaining your story and also helping all the callers today. I really appreciate that. So
thank you for having
being
me.
Here.
It was fun.
Of course.
Always fun.
Yes. Definitely. So just to let everybody else know, again, Melody Luna, MELODIELUNA 13@gmail.com. And I'm your hostess, Susan. Well, I guess we're both sharing hostesses. So, and if you wanted to contact me, Sue Ellis Soller, so SueEllisSaller, it's so long, @gmail.com as well. So, Melody, we will be here next week again, hopefully.
Yes.
And I think we'll pick a topic and let y'all know. So thanks again for listening, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.